Welcome to Mandarin Baptist Church, where we are the generations declaring the redemptive story of God on everyday mission. We are so thankful you decided to spend a little bit of time with us, joining in worship as we read God's Word together. Before we jump into this week's sermon from our 1 Corinthians series, we want to help make you aware of a couple things we have going on. You might be interested in taking a next step in your faith journey or plugging in with the Mandarin family in a deeper level. We greatly appreciate that and would encourage you to visit our website, mandarinbaptist.org. Once you're there, you will see the information and links you need, as well as ways you could contact and connect with us. You could also like and follow us on all our social media platforms. As we are in the middle of our fall season, we also want you to know our Night of Thanks is coming up on Wednesday, November 17. This is truly a favorite night for many in our faith family. We get to hear God's stories from the past year, celebrate what He is doing now, and look forward to what He has in store for us in the upcoming year. If you are interested in joining us, we are asking people to sign up on our website at mandarinbaptist.org/events. There is a beautiful letter written by Paul to the church at Corinth. As we read it together, we see he loves the people who make up this church, and he longs that they live with Christ as their center. As those that he loves stumble and struggle on this journey called life, they find themselves surrounded by an abundance of struggles, many by their own poor choice in path taken. Paul does what any loving leader always does. He comes to them with open arms, not pointed fingers. He invites them into the heart of the gospel. He elevates Jesus as the central figure in this unfolding story. And he invites them to a life abounding in the gospel. This letter is a journey of the spiritual work among spiritual people in the midst of a beautiful mess. Let's venture together into the love of God in Christ for his people.
So welcome to worship today. Apparently, I say that a lot. And I'm glad because we are able to worship the King of Glory. As is typical here, when we bridge from one focus of study to the next, we just want to pause and reflect and center our lives around the cross of Christ. And so we are going to share in communion today. It is a sacred moment for the body of Christ. This isn't a ritual that we have. This is a remembrance that we have as we stake into the ground again our boast, which is in the cross of Jesus Christ, through which the world dies to us and we die to the world. So welcome to worship. I would love to be able, and I guess I do say that a lot because I'm just realizing that right now. If you don't follow this conversation online, I will just let you have fun with that. We have been in Gentle and Lowly, which is out of Matthew, the 11th chapter, just who Jesus is, kind of understanding his identity so that we can understand our own and what it looks like as we are being conformed and transformed more and more into his image. That's really your role as you make your way through this journey, is to be transformed into the very image and likeness of Jesus. That's beautiful scripture for us. And so as we have studied who he is and studied our own hearts, we're building a bridge. Last week we talked about Jacob and the word certain place, and I'd like to allow that thought to be the bridge that leads us into the next season in 1 Corinthians. We're going to spend a season of life and 16 chapters of journey in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. And I believe this verse-by-verse study is going to be infinitely helpful for the body of Christ. And I'll explain that over the next few moments as we just ask the Lord to be everything to us. I was reading through the Bible and I wanted to make this a heartbeat verse as I begin sermons. I'm not promising I'll say this every week, but I just ran across this verse. It's familiar, most likely to you, but it's really why we are a people who make great proclamation and place great value and weight on Scripture. And it's for this reason, Isaiah 48 reads this way, that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And I would just like for us to recognize that we're often toiling and tilling in earth that is very temporal, in grass that will wither and flower that will fade, and the word of the Lord will stand forever. And I appreciate my father and his definition of the word in my own life in a writing of my Bible, that the word is written, living, and indwelling, that it is the written word of God, that is the living word of God incarnated through Jesus Christ, and the indwelling word of God for each one of us that fills our lives if and as we are followers of Jesus with the Spirit of Christ. And so this word of Christ will dwell forever, and that will allow us to place our attention on that which is deserved. We should never walk out of this room with any conversation of a speaker or a musician or something that was magnanimous in this room. Really, the one thing that is tangential, one thing that is glorious to us is the name of Jesus. And we just walk out of this room going, oh, wow, I have no remembrance of who that guy was that talked. But clearly, he loved Jesus. But more importantly, he longed for us to as well. And that would be a win. And that would be really for us to remember this, that the flower fades, the grass withers. We are going to center our souls in the word of Christ, which stands and remains forever. Verse that I have in my notes to be spared for a few moments, but I just want to read it now. For me, I believe it's the hinge verse of 1 Corinthians. We'll get there in a few weeks. But in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, there is a hinge verse that spars out into every area of life. So kind of to understand what's beautiful about 1 Corinthians is that they're dealing with a culture of immorality. They're dealing with a culture of politicization. They're dealing with a culture of unrest among the body of Christ. They're dealing with, I've got some things listed that I'll read more of in this difficult time of trepidation and sorrow. But there is nothing new under the sun, according to Scripture. And so Paul steps into the middle of this and says, with the gentle and humble heart of the Lord, and here's what is written about the letter to the church at Corinth. I want to take all of these difficulties that are intrinsic in the body, not just out there, but within the body of Christ, and I want to develop within you the capacity to be a dwelling place for the Lord. That made my heart full as I was looking about as to where we venture and study. To say, Lord, could we be a dwelling place? In 1 Corinthians 2:2, here's what Paul said. I'll read some more around this in a moment. He said, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Wow. So if that's going to be who we are, here's something that we could just put down and say, this is what I would like to decide about the body of Christ that I'm going to gather and mingle and hang out with, that there is not much, maybe, and glorified Jesus and him crucified. Welcome to communion. Welcome to the body of Christ who are making and cutting straight the path in certain places. I appreciated the story of Jacob so much last week as I shared it, and as it was shared in Scripture in such an incredible manner. I believe it was the 28th chapter of Genesis. I may be off by 10. Forgive me. Being down beside a road and pulling a rock under his head, it literally means that this is no place in particular. It's any other place. For him, it was a place of trepidation and fear, sorrow and struggle. And so I'm finding myself in a certain place, becoming increasingly aware that God meets us in certain places and makes them particular places, sacred places. Here's my thought sentence for this whole message. Certain places in Christ become dwelling places. For his presence and his power, places that we kind of ponder and say, this is not a big deal. I'm just venturing out today to go get gas because I'm on empty. And I just would love to plant this seed in your soul. Perhaps that little gas run that you have just thought about right now and it was no big deal to you is, I can give you your homework right now. I would love for you, if you're not a journaler, start. For those that journal, just open a journal or grab a 3x5 and put it in your Bible and begin to identify in your past certain places that you now know are sacred places. And perhaps that will grow your faith in that God meets us in places where we never could have expected. Like I listed three for you that I'll share quick stories about. I'm not going to belabor this, but one of those is on the screen right now. I went a lot of years ago when I was a 19-year-old young Camp Willow Run, and I taught basketball to a group of kids on the Virginia Beltway in inner city D.C., and so it was my role to just teach basketball. So I went in. I should have had a basketball in my hand. Forgive me. I went in spinning it on my finger and just kind of thinking I'm going to teach basketball. I'm going to have fun, life skills. And over that two-week period, God took a certain place that was just something I was doing, planted some significant people in my life. That is the literal cross that sits by the lake. And that place was a place of conversation. And truly, what I went to do over a two-week period to train kids to play ball, a very temporal reality, became an eternal shift in my life as I literally stood on a rock and spoke to Jesus at the cross, kind of face to face, and laid down a life completely changing the trajectory of my life. And also, when you meet Jesus, completely unhinging most of my actions at that point in time, where I was seeking forgiveness, reconciliation, and repentance before the Lord and before friends. It was significant. Certain places become sacred places. Another, who shouldn't bring up the University of Alabama today? For those of you that know me, I'm a grad of the university. For those of you who want to give an Aggie call, feel free. Bring it on. It's deserved. So this is a certain place on the campus. And I just had an epiphany for my son-in-law and my daughter today because I wrote my wife about 2 weeks ago. So that's the steps of the library. We actually met on the right-hand side, but you can kind of see a little platform right there. And when she was 19 years old and I was 22 years old and we started dating each other, we started sitting there, and then she has this great story. I won't drag it out too long, but she's like, I looked at her at one point and I said, I'd like to take our relationship to the next level. And she's like, oh my goodness, what is this? And I said, I really would like for us to begin to pray together. And that became our meeting and prayer spot. We have journals of things that we prayed for, including some of them that are sitting on the second row right now. And I wrote her a few weeks ago and I said, so if you're in a dating relationship right now, break out a prayer journal and begin to set the seed for what God wants to do 35 years from now. So one thing that hit me that is 19 and I was 22 that we never prayed for is for a grandkid. I wrote to Susan, I said, do you have anywhere in our journals a grandkid? And so we're making up ground praying for Kai right now. So Lord, forgive me. I just think we were like thinking of you and yet had no vision of that. And so I that certain place that a lot of people hang out or the $1 million band gets to stand on at every game day, that certain place is not a certain place for me. And it's not an unnamed place. It is a sacred place where God dwelled and set the table for the rest of my life. The next is just a bench. It's at Baptist College of Florida. I was sitting on the bench right by, I think it was the chapel, and it was the first time when I was a 26-year-old young man that I couldn't breathe. And sitting on the bench with surrounded by fellow seminary students, it was the first time that my heart raced erratically. It was the first time that I experienced overwhelming and abundant anxiety. It was the first time that I was crippled. And it was first time that I recognized that the Lord would meet us in our suffering places. Just as much as he would the winning spots like basketball and platforms and prayers, that he would meet us when every part of who I was crumbling. And my prayer partner's name was Bruce, and Bruce looked at me and I was in the car with him and I just said to him one day, I just want to get back to me. And he said, maybe you never will. But God will carry you where he wants you to go. And I learned that in our thorns, there are places of sacred abundance of the Lord. And I'm much like Paul, and I can't tell you I was at 27, but I can tell you now that I never regret a moment of having to rely solely on Jesus. May he strip your life as well. Certain places become sacred places and dwelling places for the Lord to do his most bidding and handiwork. And I invite you to welcome him in, and more importantly, to open your journal and begin to look back at places that you once thought was not much and has become a whole lot. Is that fair? Because here's what's true of us, is that, Lord, I've decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is really what I want to be known for. So the first letter of Corinth revealed a church struggling. And so here's where I've listed everything: division, immorality, idolatry, theological confusion. And he wrote them for this purpose, so they could be a dwelling place of the Spirit of Christ. Glory to God. May the same be true of us. So what's a dwelling place? And then let's share in communion. The dwelling place, I think, is defined by Paul also in Colossians 3:16 when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach one another, and as you admonish one another, and as you do that with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so he just sets the table to talk about our identity, who we are in Christ, what this means for us, how that shapes our lives, so that we are able to say out of 1 Corinthians, Lord, there's not much known about us except Christ and him crucified and him resurrected. And so, Lord, would you do this among us? Would you allow us to share a communion element together as a symbolic reality of the union that we share with you vertically and horizontally with this body of Christ as you call us to proclaim and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, meaning we're singing the literal Bible, we are singing portions that have carried on for generations, and we are singing new songs that the Lord has scripted in our heart. That truth alone from Scripture can eliminate any of our thoughts about what proper worship is. We are singing psalms. We are singing songs that have been sung for thousands of years, and we are singing the new that he's writing on our heart. Glory to God. And we're actually shaping each other in confessional reality of the cross of Jesus Christ, and that it has died to us and we've died to the world. And so just I don't think I've quoted this verse yet. If I have, forgive me, but it's not just that we are celebrating and reveling in the cross of Christ, but we have been crucified with Christ also. It is no longer us who lives, but Christ who lives in me and who lives in you. And in that living, we live by faith in the Son of God who both loved us and gave himself for us. So it's not that you just have this weird, okay, so I don't know how to revel in the crucifixion of Jesus. Well, just revel in your crucifixion and resurrection with Jesus. It would be beautiful. And so just saying, Lord, what's a dwelling place? How do I rest my identity? God's dwelling place is inside of us and it's among us. It's both resting personally and corporately simultaneously, and I think that's beautiful. And so I think of a dwelling place in this way. Garrett just got back from the mountains. Oh, so when he went to the mountains, I would imagine that he and Allie just grabbed a couple of suitcases. They ran up there. I'm not even going to get into the baby thing, so that fills up your car by itself. And so they ran up to the mountains, stayed for about 5 days. They came back. There is a grand difference in a trip. There's a grand difference in our religious propensity and in moving into a place. So when I'm moving into a place, I'm not packing a bag, I'm packing a truck. Got a picture of that on the screen for you. I'm not, this is 9 years ago when the truck showed up and your mother-in-law was the happiest person ever because the Siegels moved out of her house and moved into this house. And so that's a pretty big truck. I'm not grabbing a couple of suitcases. I am bringing everything in. My wife and I are a little bit of geeks like this where we've already measured every room. We've got the tape on the ground. We know exactly where the wheels are going to go. This is what it means to dwell there. And then over the next year, one of the things that we long about our home is it's not some generic things hanging on the wall, but every one is a story. You walk up to one wall and here's the stories of places we love in Jack's. Walk up to another wall, I can show you where I asked my wife to marry me. I can show you where Willow Run was because it's on the wall. I can show you things and everything has a story, and maybe, just maybe, you'll venture in. I could tell you stories because they're always stories ultimately about Jesus. So we, when we dwell, our walls are littered. This is almost Deuteronomy, covered with the word of Christ. They're covered with stories of Jesus. And while I'm raising a bunch of teenagers, I want memories to be on the wall to say, the word of Jesus lives here. The word of Jesus has rested in you. And I'm not going to strong arm you into Jesus. I'm just going to keep pointing out his love to you. And he dwells with us. He lives with our family. And he lives with our family. This beautiful mess of people we're sitting in the room with. Saying, Lord, would you just dwell with us, and we would find it to be glorious. And so I just want to come around you and share this truth. Paul decided for the church at Corinth, and I would love for us to decide to know nothing among us except Jesus and him crucified. That would compel a certain place, a standard Sunday morning, shared communion, to become a sacred place as we more than that share our hearts with the Lord and with one another. Just saying, Lord, would you come and dwell with us? Would you dwell among us?
Thanks for listening in to this week's message from our Dwelling Place series through 1 Corinthians. We believe that the Word of God never returns void, and we hope and pray that you will grow, be strengthened, and challenged each week as you join us. If you would like to join us in person next time, we gather every Sunday to sing, study Scripture, and really just enjoy our church family being together. We have multiple times you could join us. At 8:30 a.m., we have a traditional service. At 9:30 a.m. is our small group time across our whole campus. And at 10:45, we have our modern service, which is also live streamed on our Facebook and YouTube channels. We would love for you to join us in any of these services. You can find links, events, and any information you might need at our website, mandarinbaptist.org. Be sure to visit the website, like and follow us on all social media to stay up to date with everything going on. We pray that your eyes see God's work in your life, and we love being a part of your faith journey. We love you, church, and we hope to see you soon.